Now's the time to hear those much-needed words of exhortation. For those, we'll ask our brother Dan to come forward and deliver those to us.
Good morning, everyone, all in attendance in life and online. So, to begin, I would like to take a small excerpt from our first portion of our daily Bible readings that we didn't run through today, but we just need this little section because I figure it has a lesson we can all learn from and that we can all improve upon. So from the Deuteronomy portion, Deuteronomy 25, 13 to 16, if you'll turn this up with me, I can read it out for you. Deuteronomy 25, verse 13 to 16. Thou shalt not have in thy bag divers weights, a great and a small. Thou shalt not have in thine house divers measures, a great and a small. But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. For all that do such things and all that do unrighteously are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. So here in Deuteronomy, in amongst various laws, we have this little snippet about being fair, sandwiched right in the middle of marital disputes, and the commandment gave to the Israelites to totally annihilate the Amalekites. So we have this little treasure about being just. Being fair to me is simply applying and acting upon the commandment we are given to love one another. Weights and measures would be used in trade. For example, it might take, I don't know, 3 bushels of grain to equal 1 bushel of figs, or vice versa. I admit I'm not up on the values of Jewish produce back in the day. But perhaps those bushels of goods would be traded for money. As they had currency, all the goods would have a price. So the law is clear for them to use just weights and measures. Otherwise, that would be a form of stealing. Definitely a sin which was listed for us in the 10 commandments which are given to Moses. There are many verses in the Bible we have to enforce the point. Proverbs 16:11 reads, "A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work." Micah 6 verse 8, "He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with God." We can see from just these 2 verses just how deep the overall idea of just weights and measures begins to get. It's not just referring to trading material goods. I believe it goes past that and how we treat our fellow man and how we treat our family and our brethren and sisters here in our ecclesia. So now we have opened up the idea of just weights and measures also means we have to take into consideration of how we treat others. We are told in Matthew 22, verses 36 to 39, the most important commandment in the law is to love the Lord thy God. And the second part of this is to love thy neighbor as thyself. So, would we steal from our brother? How about a friend? Maybe someone we didn't know? What if it were someone who had done us wrong in the past? What if there were irreconcilable differences? Would we still hold that grudge and treat them differently than a close brother? Hopefully, for all here today, that is not the case. And there's far too much content in the scriptures to use any of their previous scenarios as an excuse. It is our responsibility to treat everybody with love and compassion and to be fair to all. We are exhorted in Proverbs 3, verse 9, where it reads, "Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy." This peels one more layer off the onion idea and opens up a definite flaw in our society that hopefully we are not part of. Do we judge poor people because they are poor? Do we favor the rich because they are rich? I know that I personally am guilty of making bad immediate judgments when I see so many homeless people asking for money as they stand on the boulevard at stoplights. We have a little scenario that we find in James that I would like to take a look at. James chapter 2, if you'd like to turn that up in your Bibles. James chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in the good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him?" We are exhorted here to not favor the rich. This seems contrary to what we find in today's society. Most of my experience comes from observing retail sales, I guess. I admit I have done no actual research on this point, but I've learned a lot just from the observation of watching people and interaction of peoples. When you're shopping in the mall, the more bags you are carrying from previous purchases, the quicker you will attract the attention of a helpful sales staff. When buying a car from a car lot, the nicer the vehicle you drive up in, the nicer you are clothed, means you will get service faster. The world caters to the rich. The point I'm trying to get at is, those who are respecters of the outward show of wealth are usually in it for their own monetary gain. They are looking at the riches of the world, not the riches in faith. All of the authors of the Bible who were inspired by God to write are all in agreement about this point. It is what is inside a person that counts. God knows our thoughts and what is going on in our minds. And he looks at the inside of us to see what we are really like. There are literally hundreds of verses in the Bible that state this. But one of the most direct and easy to understand is when Samuel was sent to anoint a king. 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Another direction we can turn towards regarding just measures and weights is naturally part of our human character. Are we selfish? Do we think of ourselves before others? Or worse yet, do we think of ourselves only? Or as God would want, do we put others before our own wants and needs? Christ did, with his sacrifice of his own life for us. So are we content with what God has given us? Are we thankful for what we have been given? Are we accepting of all of our gifts from God? Or do we complain? When we complain, it's usually a result of dissatisfaction. This means we're not happy with something, and it annoys us. The word complain is synonymous with protest, grumble, and moan. When a complaint is voiced, usually it requires some sort of action in order for the complainee to feel heard. There are three ways that I can see to deal with a complaint. You can disagree with the complaint and just ignore it. You can agree with the protest and acknowledge it and keep talking about it and how it makes your blood boil. Or the third option is to understand the source of the problem and to fix it. Which of these options is best? Out of consideration of others, I feel it inconsiderate to ignore the plea. The second option, to see the problem, validate it, talk about it, and hope it will go away, is not really helping the issue. As caring members of this ecclesia, we should take into consideration the depth and the validity of the complainee's complaint. Does it need a fix? Or are they just unhappy? Examples from around the house. I hear a voice echoing in, the garbage stinks. So solution would be to take the garbage out. It would not be right to just say, yes, it does smell really bad. and then do nothing about it. As Christadelphians, we need to step up to the plate and help others when we can. It's all about treating each other fairly. When we're happy and content, we have no reason to complain or to grumble. Grumbling has negative connotations and is frowned upon by our Heavenly Father all through the scriptures. The children of Israel grumbled to the Lord, and the results were usually quite negative. There is grumbling, and there is also the option to ask for help. We can use David as a good example of this. He had a few bad things going on in his life. In his depths of despair, when being hunted by King Saul, David cried unto God. My assumption is most of his plans, most of his pleas to God were in the form of prayer. There's a big difference between complaining and asking for help. This is why when we have a problem with someone and we feel we have not been treated fairly, we just go to that person and ask for help to understand the issue. We don't go to others for positive reassurance. As you all have probably heard, the biblical support for this is found in Matthew 18, 15, and 16. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word shall be established. And to think this whole situation could be avoided if everyone treated everyone else fairly, using just weights and balances. Our God in heaven just wants us to love him and each other as he loves us. He also wants us to be content and happy and accepting of each other, even with everybody's individual flaws. Nobody is perfect. God is perfect, and he accepts us, even with our sinful flaws. Just to touch on our New Testament reading in Acts, we have some really good character traits that we can find in Paul. As he was teaching others, Paul suffered a lot. Really a lot. He was kidnapped, beaten, threatened, arrested, accused, interrogated, ridiculed, ignored, and shipwrecked. Oftentimes, he was left cold and hungry in his preaching efforts. This is one disciple to look up to. Even though he was rarely treated fairly by the authorities, he did not grumble or complain. But instead, he boasted. If you read through the accounts, it seems he's boasting of his hardships. And he was totally elated over his persecutions. We see in this man, and his Christ-like nature, a stunning example that is set for us. One last question I would like to ask is, what is justice and how does that tie in with being fair? Justice, in its simplest form, means to set things right. Yet how do we know what is right? As Christ followers, the answer is simple. Our sense of justice is given to us by our Creator, which is God. He is loving, kind, and merciful, and He is always righteous, holy, and just. It is part of His character, which means He is always just. He cannot be unjust. So we look to God's word, which is a scripture, to define what is right. We look at Jesus as the ultimate example of someone who was fair, just, and righteous. As we look into the life of Jesus, it is clear that those who follow Christ are called to do justice. We are called to take action and to make right that which is wrong. We read of this in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. So, in the Bible, it is asked of us to use just weights and measures, to be fair to all mankind, and to judge not. What is our reaction when we find out our good acts are not reciprocated? As the manager down at United Carpet, where I work, would say, well, you just got to take the good with the bad. So this is a good point as an accepting person, but not as scriptural as we read in 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 6. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. I've heard this concept from many an atheist, and it is being called what comes around goes around, or the increasingly popular trend of the word karma. We have to be strengthened knowing that God has our backs. We have to strive to be fair to all. And we have to not judge character by looks. If we feel we are wronged by another, not being fair to us, although it is in our human nature to retaliate, we have to not to succumb to being the lesser man and accept what we are given. We need to have faith in God, knowing He is the omnipotent and will make things right, if it is in His will. Just a couple of chapters past where we started this morning, we read a comforting verse in Deuteronomy 32, verse 35. To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand. Sometimes we must learn to walk away from a wrongdoing, and that some things are better left in God's hands. All that is asked of us is to treat others as ourselves and have consideration for our fellow man. And lastly, to treat others fairly with a just weight and measure.